spirit on all flesh, Jesus. Open the floodgates.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone back to Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. I'm your host here in the studio, Sister Keisha, here on Send Forth Your Word. Today I will be talking to you in regards to our new topic on the spirit of knowledge and truth. I'm in the studio and we are in the year of 2020, our friends and listeners. And I am excited to be here. I know you're excited to be here. So today we're going to get into the word soon. But I just wanted to let you know, for the year of 2020, the Lord has spoke. And we as people of God, we need to focus on getting ourselves and our houses in order. And today's word will shed some light on how we can all together come under this knowledge of spirit and truth. So if you are here and this is your first time visiting Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry, we want to thank you for coming and tuning in today. We also want to thank those who have followed through year of 2019 with Send Forth Your Word. And I'm praying that God will continue to bless your life and to heal you each and every step of the way. After this break in music, we'll get right into the message. Stay tuned.
Watches on Sunday morning. Let it rain. Let it rain. Until signs and wonders normal in our churches again, Jesus. Broken indifference and complacency is no longer in the houses of worship, no longer in our churches, Jesus. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. We need an awakening. 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 Let it rain. We need an awakening, Jesus. Let it rain. Make all things new. Bring a flood that makes all things new.
Praise God, everyone, here on Send Forth. So today we're going to get into our message in regards to the spirit of knowledge and truth. And I would like to start by reading our background scripture, which will come from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. And we're going to go down to the third chapter, and I'm going to be reading from the seventh verse, which says, such women are forever following new teachings, but they're never able to understand the truth. So this right here is our background scripture, and I want to read also, and I'm going to go back up to the first verse in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, if you're following along with me today. And I want to just kind of read this over so you can kind of get an idea of the day and time that we are in. It says, the dangers, of the last day. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing scarce. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Verse 6 says, they are the kind who work their way into people's houses or homes. And when the confidence of the vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires, such women are forever learning, following teachings, but are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have deprived minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize that fools, what fools they are, just as Jannes and Jambres did. So I'm going to stop there because I really want you, those who are listening and tuning in, to send forth your word. I'm reading that from the New Living Translation, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I read from verses 1 today through 9. But again, like I said, our background scripture is based around 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. And so what we're talking about in this scripture, we're trying to bring out the knowledge of the Spirit of truth, okay? Because we are in the last days, according to what the Word of God is saying. And what God was telling me, and He put this in my spirit about a month ago, and I was planning to really download this message at the end of December, because I was thinking this was something the Lord wanted me to release to our listeners and friends for the end of the year. However, I learned later that the Lord really wanted this to be a beginning message for the year of 2020. And I hope that you're here to understand that we're trying to get to a knowledge of truth. We're no longer trying to be in an ever-learning state. And that's what God was saying to me. I happened to be witnessing something that was going on in a loved one's life. And I believe the day that I was, you know, in their home, the Lord just spoke clearly to me and said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And my friend, I went to the Word of God and I looked at the scripture, and the Lord was telling me, this is what the cry is in the churches, in the households. Our brothers and sisters all over the world today, we have so many people that are ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of truth, my friends. Now, this scripture does reference to the captive woman, the silly woman, the woman that is laden with sin, who has been led away with diverse lusts. However, the Lord said, this is men and women all over the world. So many women are laden with all type of guilt and all types of sin because they have been forced to, and in their eyes, to take the matters into their own hands. They've been forced to be the mom and the father in the household when there is an absent parent there. They've been forced to govern the lives of their household, their children. And so sometimes women who are not under the fear and admiration of the Lord, they will make decisions that could really affect the household in a way where it could cause the children, the lifestyle, to be reflected as what we call sin. And so what the scriptures is saying here is that many women are getting ready to face a harsh judgment. And I hate to be the one who speak of this because I am a woman, you know. And the reason why the Lord told me this, because he gave me a second part to the ever learning. He said, you know, my judgments are already fixed and they're final. And for many years, the church has always said that the Lord is going to judge the church first. And he said the church is built, and the majority of the members are women. And so women make up the church. Even though we know you brothers are out there, and this message is not excluding you, because we are all in this together. We are all one part of the body of Christ. And so we have to be aware and mindful in this year of 2020 that the Lord is coming back and we're getting closer and closer. And a lot of people are trying to prophesy and they're trying to figure out so they can say they know. But we know that the Bible says not even the Son knows. So therefore, the Lord is putting in our spirits that we don't need to be concerned about when. We just need to be prepared for the bridegroom. We need to be ready for the presence of the Lord to return to this earth. And when I say that, we need to focus on what is it that's holding us back from being able to have a relationship with the Lord where he can release the spirit of knowledge and truth in our life. How have we fell short of gaining this type of knowledge? What is holding you back from getting this knowledge? After all of these years, what is it that you are allowing to hold you away from serving the Most High? And so in this scripture, the Lord pointed out, my people are ever learning, my friend, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What is the knowledge of truth, my friend? It is that he is the Lord our God, our Lord and Savior. He has the ability to have mercy and to judge each and every one of us. And so we have to make him Lord of our life. We can no longer play back and forth with the Lord. Even though the Lord has spared many lives, he has allowed many people to escape terrible judgments. However, the Lord is getting ready to return soon, and so we have to get our houses in order. And so what I'm here today is to somewhat sound the trumpet for those who are trying to do well but don't understand what's really going on. Those who are being misled that may even be working in the house of the Lord. Those who are working in ministerial positions, who are still serving the Lord, but they're ever learning. They're always going to conferences. They're always going to Bible studies. They're always going to meetings, but they're never really coming to a knowledge of the Spirit of truth because their life is not reflecting it. This is what the Word of God is saying. My people are lost, and they are not even mindful that the time and the day that we're in. I read to you earlier, and I want to try to make it clear to you, my friends, because we need the rain that he is speaking of, the songstress is speaking of, is we need that power, that knowledge to enter in to our lives so that we can have that truth, so it can set us free from all different types of snares that unfortunately we've been forced to deal with. Some people are suffering under many curses of their bloodline and they don't even know it. And this year of 2020, I believe the Lord is really going to open up the area where I can become a little bit more personal, and that I can basically interact with some of you where that you can see who I am, to see the love of God that's coming from Send Forth and from my heart here on Send Forth. And so I'm looking forward. We're right in the transition of trying to get things prepared for the 2020. And I'm actually excited about the things that God has been showing me that he wants to do for Send Forth Your Word. And I'm praying that you will stay in touch and pay attention and tap in and share our messages with your loved ones, those who are in need of these types of message, even those who are not. Because let me tell you, we all need to be reminded from time to time. It's so easy to be entrapped in sin and not really pay attention. And some of you guys are suffering because you have not repent. You have not repent of your sins. Yes, you are working in the church. Yes, you are praising the Lord. You may even be on an intercessory prayers. You're in all kinds of auxiliaries and ministerial positions. However, you have not come to the spirit of knowledge and truth. And the truth is that you must lay down your sin and make him Lord. You cannot, my friend, my sisters and brothers, you can't, beloved, continue to live a life where you're cheating yourself from experiencing the true and living God in your life. This knowledge of spirit and truth is for everyone. This is not just for the church, but this is for really those who have been really seeking the Lord that has had to leave the church too because of all the chaos in the church. And so the Lord is trying to get our attention to show us that we need the rain. We don't need just the blessings. We don't need just the money. We don't need just the cars. We need the rain. This type of rain that will bring the spirit of truth and knowledge in our life. And so how do we obtain that type of knowledge and truth? It's because we need this in order to unlock or to ask the Lord to deliver and heal our land. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Bible says, praise God, he will deliver them from them all. But what we need is the rain so that we can be able to unlock the spirit of truth in our life. We cannot continue to go about in the same manner and in the same way. If we are falling short in areas in our life, if we have lacked or stopped reading our word, we need to go back to the word of God for ourselves. There is a lot of chaos in the church. There's a lot of misrepresentation of the Lord. There's a lot of false prophets, lying spirits, people who are doing things intentionally to keep you from experiencing the floodgates of heaven in your life. And so what God is saying, this is the year 2020. You guys need to figure it out. You need to get it into my word so I can show you the truth. And the truth is whatever is holding you back, that's stopping you from experiencing the rain in your life, you need to know what it is so that you can deal with that issue. Whether it's through prayer, fasting, or it's through healing, scriptures, word, whatever God, revelatory knowledge, you need the rain. And so what God is showing me also is that because of the sins that many people are in, that is one of the biggest areas why many people cannot experience the floodgates of heaven. And so they're frustrated because they've been taught so many times in the church, if you just believe and receive, you shall have whatever you say. Well, the Lord says, no, my people who know my voice, they follow, they listen to my instructions. They are not just being led off by these prophets, these pastors and preachers. And I don't want to afflict anyone because some people are in ministries where they're being really taught. However, they're not following the word of God in their life. They're not making him Lord. They're not putting the word of God first because it's something in the way. It's something that's causing them to not come to the knowledge of truth. And so I'm concerned today, you know, what this word is trying to say to us is that we might all just need to do a self-inventory. The Lord is saying, you know, we need to stop putting things first before Him, because it's going to come a time where you're going to feel very bad that you didn't make Him your Lord. You know, I've heard women in the church say, you know, the Lord is my Lord and Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my all. But then when God showed me things about their lifestyles, it really doesn't reflect that. And so, ladies, why today God is putting you on my heart is that the church, like I said earlier, the majority of the church is basically filled with women. Praise God. And so the Lord is saying too, is that He's going to judge the church. And so by Him judging the church, the women are there in the church. And these judgments that the Lord has been talking about are considered fixed judgments. They're already telling you, if you are caught in adultery, fornication, you're living in some type of out of self-control, you're living a life that's reckless, the Lord is going to not accept you into the kingdom of God. You won't inherit, that's what the word of God's saying, the kingdom of God. And you won't be able to say, oh Lord, I serve this position, I serve that position. Lord, I preached this and I taught that ministry. Because your lifestyle is what the Lord looks at, my sister, my friends. Your lifestyle, and for you brothers too. This is a message for all. It's not for one, it's for all. Brothers, you as well, who are in the church, having adulterous affairs, flirting and hitting on women, secretly lusting behind a woman, the Bible says you've already committed the sin. So you have to get your life together. You have to get your heart right with God. Because I'm not sure if you're really understanding, if you're caught in this type of sin, what will be the outcome in the end. And that's what we're going to get to today, that the Lord has put on my heart, is to talk to you, our friends and listeners here on Send Forth Your Word, that there is a consequence that you have to pay when you live in sin. And, you know, we've been told, you know, once saved, always saved. Or if you just sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. Yes, I believe that as well. But I recognize that God is not playing with us in these last days. We're coming too close to the end of this whole thing. And the Lord is saying that we must get our lives, our households in order so that we can be able to inherit everlasting life. That's the promise that God gives you. When you do the things right, the Lord will look out for you. As you look out for Him, you obey His word, He will come through for you every time. I'm going to take you to right now the book of Corinthians, and I want to go to chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, and I'm going to read it right now to you. Those who are just tuning in to Send Forth Your Word, I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, which says, Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so right here, the Lord is trying to tell us who will not enter into the kingdom of God. He's being very clear who will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read it again because I want to give you a clear version. If you did not understand me reading it the first time, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." And see what the Lord said to me, he said, "I want you to go over some of those specific things that people do, and they kind of think they can put it under the rug, they can hide it, and that I won't see it." Those who actually are living in sin are people who are doing some of these same or committing some of these same acts, who are indulging in sexual sin. That right there means you're committing fornication. You're probably sleeping with someone that outside of the marriage that the Lord has really desired for his people to be married before they enter into a sexual relationship with the other party. Those who are worshiping idols, people who are serving other gods, who are doing witchcraft, sorcery, they're using altars to fix other people's lives. The Lord said you won't enter in and you won't be able to escape this. So don't be fooled. Those who are committing adultery, who are obviously sleeping with other spouses that are not your own, the Lord is saying that it's not going to be acceptable. Those who are considered male prostitutes or selling themselves, and women do it the same as well for the dollar market. Those who are actually practicing homosexuality, those who are having sex with men, men having sex with other men. Those who are thieves, people who are stealing other people's inheritance, killing innocent blood is being shed just so they can have their riches. Those who are greedy, people who are always trying to make a profit where there's no real profit that is necessary. They just always want more, more, and more. They can have all the money in the world and they still want more. They're just greedy by nature. Some people are just greedy with every area of life. It's not just money. People who are drunkards. You know, when I looked at this area, the Lord said, when people are drunk, they tend to spill the beans. They always tend to say anything. But yet they never really repent for the things and the things they say to other people. That is really has tarnished some people's, you know, hope and faith, because they're just living a life of deception and they've drunk their life away, you know. They're always being intoxicated with everything and they want to try to get everyone else on board with them. Those who are abusive, you know, we have a lot of people in this society that are very abusive, my friend, that are very disrespectful, very unloving, ungrateful, unforgiving, you know, just abusive with their behavior. They will talk to you any old way. You know, we kind of discussed it in 2019, you know, narcissism is very big in the United States. People who are trying to take control over other people's lives, trying to demonstrate a sense of leadership and power. And this is not only in a household. This is in the church. This is in the workplace. This is everywhere. So the abuse is really becoming so off the chart because some people are where they at to this day because they've been traumatized and abused by others, even in their own household. And the Lord is not going to allow this. This kind of behavior, abusing, cursing at others and calling them all kinds of names, you know, disrespecting, dishonoring your parents, just treating them bad. This goes also under the area of for children being disobedient and just coming, you know, with this evil spirit against your parents, not willing to adhere to the warning, you know, of what's going to come ahead for someone who is constantly dishonoring their parents. It's a very evil and wicked spirit. Those people who cheat people, you know, people who are sitting around just cheating people, you know that the person has an inheritance. You know that the person deserves a chance to gain on this situation, but you'll find a way to steal it from them, and you are the one that was supposed to bless their life. God is not happy with that behavior, and he says here in Corinthians, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So my question today, friends and listeners, what is holding you back? What is holding you back from coming to this knowledge of spirit and truth? Why is it that you have not been able to obtain the truth? If you're operating under one of these types of spirits, trust me, you are right now in under a serious judgment that the Lord says that it's already been fixed for you. And so if you don't come out of your stupor, there's going to be some consequences, and you may not be ready, you know? You may not be ready for the judgment that you will go fall under. And so God is really trying to get us to see that, you know, he is not going to play with us and allow us to just do whatever we want to do because we are children, or we're saying we're religious, like the word said. You know, people are always trying to counterfeit the faith. That they're always going to be saying, oh yeah, the Lord, I know the Lord, I've lived for the Lord 30 something years, but they're the biggest sinners in the world. Those are the hypocrites. Those are the ones who are trying to confess that they are a religious person. However, behind closed doors, or maybe even publicly, they're the biggest sinners in the church. Biggest people who are professing the faith, but on the other side of things, they're living a double lifestyle. And that's what God is saying here. I just want to remind you, because we talk so much about sin, but the Lord said, I want you to go a little deep into that, because I want these people to understand that, you know, I'm not playing with them, you know. And at some point, I may be silent, but sometimes silence is not good, my friend, you know. So if we don't have that floodgate, if that rain is not pouring into us, if we're not hearing the voice of the living God, there's something going on. And we may need to pray and repent and fast and ask the Lord to speak to us so that we can be able to get our lives in order. When God gets silence, that may be a good thing for some, but it's not really. It's a sign that something is not where it needs to be. And so that's what I think in 2020, many people have gotten comfortable because they've been put under a delusion, the Bible says. They've been given over to a strong delusion, and they have started to believe the lie that the Lord is saying it's okay for them to do this because he's not judging them. And the lie is that they believe that they won't be judged. So that's why they keep entering into the same types of sin. And so they're falling under this scripture. They're ever learning. But never, the Bible says, never means that God is saying they're never going to get that spirit of truth. They're never coming to the knowledge of truth because they've been so disobedient to my word. They've been so disrespectful to me that I'm not even going to let them come into that knowledge of truth. And that, my friend, is a very dangerous state to be in. And I'm praying for you as you would pray for me as well. I hope that we all stay under the knowledge of truth. I want to open up and go to another scripture. Those who are tuning in, I'm right here getting ready to read from the book of John, and I'm going to be talking today about a woman who was caught in her sin. Okay, book of John chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from verse 4. And it says, "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" Verse 6. They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stood down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Verse 9. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Verse 10. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" Verse 11. "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Now this story is very important because the Lord had begun to point out to me that this woman was caught and considered guilty, and she was caught in the act of adultery. However, the Pharisees at that time were considered, the scribes and Pharisees were the leaders, and they wanted to use this woman act of being caught in adultery to be a sense of judgment against her. However, they just really wanted to trap the Lord. They wanted to cause to see if Jesus was going to go against with the laws of Moses so they could have something, a reason to try to condemn him. However, Jesus recognized what they were trying to do, so he turned it on them, and they recognized they were without sin. Also, in this story, the Lord points out, and he makes it clear again, who is the person that is getting ready to be judged, my friend? It's a woman, okay? So women, we have to be very careful because women here, this act right here she was caught in, she could have died from this act. She could have been stoned to death. However, this woman recognized something very important in this text. And so what the Lord had said to me, he said, this woman who was caught in sin, who was supposed to be made an example of, I loved her so much that I didn't want her to die in her sin, and that he gave her another chance. And this woman recognized that Jesus saved her, and so she made him Lord. Verse 11 says, "No, Lord," she said. This lady right here, she recognized that the love that Jesus showed on her life that day, how he spared her from being put to death, being stoned in front of everyone, how humiliating that was and would have been for her. How agonizing that would have been for her, being that she was not the only one without sin. You know, she was the one, she would have sinned. However, there were other people who were sinning just like her. However, they chose to pick her out of all the other people to make a public example of her. How humiliating that was. And Jesus came to her aid, and he told her, "Where are your accusers?" Because he knew these people were hypocrites. He knew they were fake, false prophets and false teachers and leaders. He knew that they were not without sin. And so she said, "No, Lord," she said. To me, the Lord showed me that lady made Jesus Lord. She automatically recognized that this man here is not an ordinary man. This is the Lord, the only person that can turn my sins around, my situation around. He has saved me this day from being stoned, so he is my Lord. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." So the Lord has already shown us by this story that when you make him Lord, He will turn your situation and circumstances around, but he's going to require something from you. And he's going to say, go and sin no more. But you have to make an accurate knowledge. You have to make an honest decision. You have to have the spirit of truth. You have to be able to discern for yourself when Jesus is going to become Lord over your life. When is enough? When is it going to be enough for you to finally choose the Lord to be the Lord over your life, my friend? When are you able to decide, I'm going to put away my sin in order to serve him? You know, because you cannot have both. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot say, I'm going to make the Lord of my life, but I'm still going to live a life of sin. The Bible says that you must love one and hate the other. And so that's where a lot of people are falling short, because they're basically falling under the judgment of being dishonorable, that are being disloyal to the Lord, are choosing to serve other gods, choosing to believe the lie that they can live in sin and they can still serve the Lord. And so again, like I said, ladies, I'm going back to the church. The church is built with more women than men in this day and time, because our men have decided to follow after the diverse lusts. They've decided to be those kind of people that creep into the households of women and to deceive the women and to deceive their whole household, having women, young women, older women, women of all different breeds and creeds believe that they can get away with this kind of sin and still get up and go on Sunday morning and serve the Lord. This is the season that we've been in for a while. And the Bible is saying to you and to me, are you ever learning? Are you ever learning? Ever learning, he says, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so I don't want to be in a place where I'm not able to grasp the knowledge of truth. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins, my former and past and present sins, because we are always going to fall short in sin. But we have to be mindful when we're in sin that we need to make a decision to get out of the sin. We can't just stay there and wallow in our sin. And that's what I see a lot of sisters doing. You know, they start getting hopeless. They start feeling depressed. They start having a sense of anxiety, thinking like, oh, I'll never get married. I'll never be able to have children. I'll never be able to have someone for myself. Time is winding up, so I might as well go on and date this guy over here, even though you know he's already married, even though you know that he's never going to want to marry you. Because men, my friends, my sisters, they are always going to tell you what they're going to do. And so you got to be a better listener. You got to listen to exactly what he's saying and stop trying to rephrase the words. And men, I'm not going to let up on you either, because men too, you know, are being done wrong by some women. Some women are doing men wrong as well. And our brothers and, you know, have decided to go and to find other women to comfort them, you know. But this is not only because, you know, the woman, you know, she wasn't loving or she wasn't kind. These were decisions that these men had made on their own. And we as women can't continue to beat ourselves up and act like we can handle it all without the Lord. Because he needs to heal us when we've been hurt. When we've been traumatized by different relationships, different issues in our lives, we need healing. And so your way of healing is not the way the Lord wants to heal you. He wants to be Lord first, and then he will bring forth healing. He says it in his word, if we will turn from our wicked ways and, you know, repent unto him, he will heal our land. He is able to do the healing in your life. He's able to do the cleaning. He's able to do the tucking. He's able to go to like the marrow of the bone and revive that bone. He's able to move whatever it is in your life that is stopping you, that is opposing you, that is holding you back from making him Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm here to sound the trumpet. This is the year you must get this sin thing, this issue that's holding you back. You have to get it in order. Because if you continue to walk in ignorance, you will fall into your own pit. I hate to say that because a lot of people have grown accustomed to it. You know, it's in their bloodline. Well, you know, my mom did it. My father did it. My cousin, you know what? They had to face a judgment for it. I'm going to tell you a story that's going to help you understand what I'm saying. And I want you, when we talk about this story, I want you to really pay attention because this story is going to bring us home today. And I'm praying that you, those who have already been listening to me today, will take some notes and begin to start praying, you know, taking down notes and putting down on your paper the things that you really do need to work on. Spending more time in the Word, getting to know the Lord more, not allowing yourself to be constantly distracted, you know. In order to have a relationship with the Lord, you really have to put in effort, my friend. You can't just experience the Lord on a Sunday or a day where you go and worship. You have to spend time in the Word individually. You have to make the time with the Lord, because this is the only time you'll get before the judgment will come. So unfortunately, if you're just so busy and your life is just so extravagant, you're just living your best life and you don't have the Lord in your life, you'll see exactly what's going to happen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19. Okay, I'm going to read here and I'm going to start, and we're going to be talking about the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple, fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and ooze my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is in comfort here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chastisement has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Verse 29 says, Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Verse 30 says, "No, Father Abraham," he said, But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Verse 31 says, he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced if someone rises from the dead. Praise God. So there the Lord is laying out what is expected. What is the expected ending for a person who continues to live the life that they want according to their knowledge, their truth, instead of the spirit of knowledge and truth? This man was a rich man. He had every good thing there was to offer in this life. But he never extended any help to those who were less fortunate than him. I mean, a beggar was laying at his gates. He's seen him probably every day. This man just wanted to be fed. He wanted to be clothed. He wanted to be well. And he was a sick man because he was without just the basic living necessities, like in this day and time when you see some people who are homeless, who you know they're hungry, who you know they don't have a place to lay their head. They're going to be living out on the streets, my friend. While you're in your home, comfortable, tucked under your covers, they're going to be out there in the cold. Some of the homeless people have brought some of the shame to themselves. I'm not trying to take away from that. However, we're talking about Lazarus, who was a man who the Lord has had him recorded here in the scriptures. So this rich man did not consider that at the end of his life, if he lived a life that was not pleasing unto the Lord, that he would enter into the lake of fire. He would not inherit the kingdom of God, and none of his money could pay his way into heaven. However, Lazarus, on the other side, who was a poor man, the Bible speaks, and he was, when he passed away, he was led over into the side of Abraham. He was led into comfort, as the word says. And so he was able to receive everlasting life with the Lord. Because the poor man, he had knew the Lord. Even though his state was bad, he was poor. He didn't steal to maintain food. He didn't try to kill the rich man. He just laid at the gate, hoping one day the man would give him something to eat. How he never did, unfortunately. And he passed away, but he inherited the comforts of the kingdom of God. He was able to be taken, as you can read in the scripture, by the angel to the side of Abraham. What does the story tells us? In the time that this man was in his torment, the agony that he spoke of, he had some type of knowledge just to think that this man was being tormented, but he still had a knowledge. He was able to see that the knowledge that he rejected of truth, it became the one thing that kept him from entering into the kingdom of God. So he begged Abraham to let Lazarus not only just give him a tip of water, which he was rejected, but he also said, send Lazarus to my brothers, who, if at some point, if the way they're being taught, because he knew that he was there because of what he had learned while he was here on earth, how he was taught in his household, how he was accustomed to many riches, and never gave thought to the things of the Lord, because everything was laid at his feet. So this man recognized in his day of torment that if Lazarus, with someone that had died and was risen from the dead, would go to his brothers, would appear there, that his brothers would have accepted the Lord, would have repented, the word says, because this man recognized that in his agony, the thing that he lacked doing was repenting from his sins. And so this man also spoke in regards to the brothers and how if Lazarus again had basically appeared to them, they would come to a knowledge of truth. However, Abraham corrected him. And he said to this man, they have Moses and the prophets. And even if this person was rose from the dead, they would still not even be convinced. See, my friend, this rich man recognized the spirit of truth when it was too late. But because he never operated, he never allowed the spirit of truth to come into his life, he lacked understanding that Abraham had to still tell him, your brothers will not receive the truth. They won't repent because they need to listen while they're able to hear. They need to listen to the prophets or to Moses and the prophets. And in this day and time, we know that Moses is not here, but the laws are here. The commandments are here. The Mosaic law according to the Ten Commandments for some people. There are some true prophets here that are speaking to God's people and are trying to warn you that this man right here, he speaks for himself, you know. He lived a lavish life, a luxury life, and never considered the spirit of knowledge and truth. And so he ended up in torment, in agony, in Hades, the Bible says. So you have this time, my friend. If you are still here in the land of the living, you have time to repent. You have time to take the inventory, do the hard work, search within your soul, and ask the Lord to show you what is it. Why have you not been able to come to the knowledge of truth? And if you're sincere in your heart and the Lord is willing to change your life, you need to make the change. You need to ask for forgiveness while you have the time, and you need to repent, and you need to turn away from the sin and go and sin no more. See, the problem is that so many people will make that type of decision and then they kind of get comfortable with the I've now repented state, so now I'm going to try not to sin anymore. Going and sinning no more means that I'm just on purposely just going to leave that thing alone. I don't care if this is the best thing that everybody say it is, but because I know this is a hindrance to what God wants for my life, I'm willing to let it go. And it's just a conscious decision to go and sin no more. If it's something you're doing, it's something, a state or a condition or a position you're in, or, you know, a lifestyle that's you're living within, you have to decide, you know, is this worth me ending up in that torment of fire that rich man talked about? Okay. So at the end of the day, you know if it's something you're doing wrong. Most of the time, we know when we're doing wrong. But we have to make the decision to decide to get it right with him, because he's the one that can remove the sin. He's the one that can forgive us. He's the one that can move away all of the things that are hindering us from a lifestyle that is pleasing unto him. And it is going to require work, I must say. It's going to require work on your end, because you're going to have to make a sacrifice. And that's where a lot of trouble starts for people. They don't want to let something go that they're so accustomed to. The man was accustomed to his luxury life. He's saying, my brothers are accustomed to that life that sent me here, so I don't want them to come. So I hope and pray that they listen to the prophets, because that's all they're going to get. According to Abraham, they must listen to Moses or the prophets. And so, like I said earlier, you know, we're in 2020, my friend, and the Lord is trying to get, and he's trying to warn people, because when the judgment comes forth against their life, they will wake up. Some will wake up in that torment. And it's going to be because they've never repented. They never gave any of their time to the Lord. They never considered the Lord, the laws of God. And they lived their life the way they wanted. And that is going to be their judgment. And I'm also trying to warn you and let you see. I want you to see for yourself. That's why I always encourage you, when you basically are listening to my messages, I pray that you, my friends, will search the scriptures for yourself. You don't have to take my word. You need to be reading the word of God for yourself, so that you may know it for yourself. So that word will go into you. It will be downloaded in your spirit, so that you can be always reminded when you're facing a situation that may try to cause you to sin against the Lord. So we have to be careful in what we're reading, what we're listening to, who we're listening to, and how much time are we applying to things that are not of good and good report. You know, that's another area where a lot of people fall short, because they're putting so much energy and time into movies, talk shows, reality shows, and your spirit is starting to see that. And if the more you intertwine with that spirit, you become, you know, fixated on that. You become prideful, like some of the people that you're watching. You become unloving, unforgiving, you know, just boastful. And so those are spirits, those are attributes, those are people, the Bible says, that we're supposed to avoid. And I wanted to bring that out, because before I leave today, is that the Lord is saying, you know, what does a person who is walking under the counsel of fools, how can they basically, you know, compliment that person who is foolish? You know, you cannot be walking under the counsel of the ungodly. Many people are being destroyed from and being robbed from experiencing the blessings of God, because they're around a lot of foolery. They are allowing themselves to be under the counsel of the ungodly. And they're in connection, they're friends, they're hanging out with the people that the Lord is saying, avoid such people. They're friends with people who are committing adultery, and they know it. And just so they can be able to keep watching that person, you know, and keeping an eye on them, watching their lifestyles on all social media sites and stuff, because they really want to see if you're going to get away with it. But guess what? The Bible says, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. They won't get away with it. But where you're getting caught up is that you're so busy still following them. You're following people who are heading you, leading you right to hell. You're on their followers list. You know, you're following these people. And you're saying, oh, you know, but I'm praying for you, sister. Are you really praying for them? Or are you just wanting to see what's going to happen? See, when you be in connection with people who are doing these kind of things, you will become like them. You know, you will come like someone who's cursed. So you don't want to spend your time following people, following behind people who are living in under these lifestyles, because the Bible is telling you, it's warning you to avoid such people. So today I just wanted to let you know that, you know, the Lord is really trying to take us to another level. And before we go into this full year of 2020, we have to get our lives in order. We need to start doing some self-inventory, my friend, and begin to recognize the sin that we may, whether we're in the sin all the way, or we may be flirting with the sin, or we may even be away from the sin, but we still have not yet been able to discover or fully come into the knowledge of truth. We need to get our lives in order so that the Lord will bring this knowledge. He will release this rain. He will release the spirit of knowledge and truth in our lives. So I pray that you will read your word, study your word. You will begin to, make the Lord, Lord of your life. Don't just say, I know him anymore. Make him Lord of your life. Like the lady who was caught in adultery. Make him Lord of your life. I'm telling you, he will change everything and he will help you if you go and sin no more. There is conditions, my friend. There is conditions. You can't just live any old way and say, I know the Lord, but you are living opposite and contrary to what his will is saying for your life. So I'm praying for you that you will get your life in order, that you will begin to experience the floodgates of heaven. Those who have been suffering and going through things for year to year, the Lord is just putting on my heart, just seek him. He will open the door of knowledge and truth for you. He'll show you. Some of you just need to really pray and ask God, what is it that's hindering my life? Because the Lord is putting in my spirit that a lot of people who are being hindrance is because the people that they're around, it's people in their lives, it's things that they're still holding on to, whether material goods, are there people that's been speaking evil over their lives. So I'm praying that you would really seek God for this knowledge of truth. I've had to do it myself, and the Lord has really been giving me clear instructions on what I need to do to break these curses and to let go some people that have been hindering the move of God in my life, because, you know, I've been conditioned to their relationships. And I'm telling you, after doing that, I began to start feeling a sense of peace and wholeness by doing it. Sometimes we just have to let people go. They're just not on the right page with us, you know. The Bible already speaks, you know, what does light has to do with darkness? And so we need to take that time, my friend, to do the work, do the inventory. Ask the Lord those important questions. What is really going on? And I'm going to tell you, the Lord is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our sins. I pray that you, our friends and listeners here on Send Forth Your Word, been blessed today. I pray that the Lord will bless and keep you through the year, throughout the year of 2020. I'm praying that the Lord will engulf you with the spirit of knowledge and truth so you may be able to not only be free in your own household, my brothers and sisters, but also that you can help someone else be saved and set free too. So if you're new here to Send Forth Your Word, I'm thanking you today for coming here to listen to the Word of God with me, and so that we can do an inventory on our own lives together or individually. And you too are welcome to send me an email so that I may pray for you the year of 2020. And for those who have been following us through the years and through 2019, excuse me, I'm just so thankful that you continue to tune in to Send Forth Your Word. I'm looking forward to being able to get to know you more personal this year. And so I hope and pray that you continue to tune in to Send Forth Your Word. May God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer. Amen. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. We need an awakening. Let it rain, we need an awakening. Let
the flood that makes all things new. Jesus, when Noah walked out on the ark, after the rain came and the flood came, all things were made new. The rain washed away everything that opposed you. The rain washed away and drowned everything and everyone that opposed you. What we're doing is not changing anything. What we have is not working. And what we're doing is not changing anything. What we have is not working. And what we're doing is not changing anything. What we have is not working. What we're doing is not changing anything. We need the rain. Hear the cry. Hear the cry for rain. Hear the cry, hear the cry, hear the intercessors all over America weeping, crying, weeping, crying, weeping, crying for rain, crying for rain. We need the rain, Jesus. Cry of your people. Hear the cry of your people. Let it rain. Shunamanai. Umbre gido sukamamai. Urabdo no 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 sikiana de. Uramama sukona mamai. Uredinisia. Oh, no.